down there, been down there for a bit of time, and then pastor went down after last Sunday service and spent time with the family. And this morning they're at Living Waters Baptist Church in Knoxville, North Carolina. And so we are here, and I am left to carry on. And to that carry on, see, that word has two connotations. Carry on means to keep doing what's needed, and then carry on can also mean to sort of party, you know, and live a little loosely, you know. He was carrying on. I can see some of you aren't aware of that, but I'm sure you know the experience, even if you don't know the term. Kyle, would you ask God to lead us?
Heavenly Father, I thank you for another day we're able to gather in your house. And God, we need your leading. We're here to hear from you.
Yes.
I ask that you give Pastor Haim the words that you'd have us to hear, and that you'd strengthen us to carry out what it is that you'd have us to do. In Jesus Christ's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And the 1 o'clock service will be the teens. They will be having the 1 o'clock service. All right. We've been looking at building Christian character. These are character traits that a person who is not a Christian can have. And many times we meet individuals who are not Christians, but they nevertheless have good character. Of course, sadly, we meet sometimes Christians who do not have good character. And that's sad, because that's a bad reflection on the Lord Jesus Christ, on being a Christian. And so what we're dealing with is building Christian character. And the next thing we're looking at is generosity. And we're at Luke chapter 6 for a scripture text on this. Luke chapter 6, having to do with generosity. And Luke 6, verse 38. And as Pastor says, if as we go through looking up many of these verses, if you're not comfortable with looking at them and finding them all, then you can just sit and listen, and that'll be fine. Luke 6, 38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom." Here's the key. "For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." And so when it comes to this matter of generosity, we ought to have generosity. If we want blessings from God, he says, well, then you're going to get blessings comparable to your generosity. Now, if you have to know your life, and you have to know how you feel about the blessings you get. And if you feel, well, I don't get many blessings, or I know so-and-so, and they seem to always have some kind of blessing from God, here's the key. Mark it down in your Bible. Circle it, underline it or something. Luke chapter 6. "For with the same measure, with the same amount that you give to others, that you dole out to others," it says, "that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again."
Amen.
And so it feels good to give to others. It develops an unselfish spirit. Now you say, well, how do I get that? Let me tell you, you can pray for it. It's always good to pray, and you can pray for it. But let me tell you, the best way to get this is just do it. Okay? Practical therapy helps to develop this trait. Do it. A giving spirit is not dependent also on how much you have. Well, if I had more, I'd give more. Listen, give them what you have. Right. It's the heart that God's looking at. It's not the amount.
Right.
And then also remember, there's more ways of giving than just financially or objects that money would buy. There's other ways to give. You can give kindness. You can give friendship. You can give that friendship. I'm thinking you can give companionship. Maybe there's somebody that you know of who is alone, and you could give to them. It always concerns me when it comes to holiday time, that there may be Christians who would end up being alone. And that's not good. And a person, should be able to have a... So you can give. Your generosity is the giving of yourself. And practical therapy helps in this trait. Practical therapy. But listen, I always gave. I was never a Scrooge, all right? But my wife, she knows generosity. She never had a lot, but she knows generosity. And my watching her, my observing her, it influenced me. And over a period of time, I began to do better, to do more about giving. Like I said, I was never a Scrooge. People can feel badly enough about me. I don't want to add to that, all right? So, but nevertheless, God, through her, taught me how to give. And my, what a joy it is to give. That's why God in the Bible said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And there's just a blessing in giving. I used to say, well, I want you to have a blessing, so you give to me, okay? It's more blessed to give than receive, but somebody's got to receive it. I'll take the lesser, and you can have the blessing. I'm laughing because that was the spirit in which I gave it. But God has taught me how to give and the joy of giving. And it's not based on amount. Okay? Praise God for those who have a better amount from which to give. Because just like, look, here we are in church. In the church, there's needs. And so the offerings are taken up. And praise God that everybody can give to that offering. You know, I have been in churches where people have prayed, Lord, bless those who give and bless those who can't give. I don't pray that. Because the widow didn't have a whole lot, but she gave from what she had. Okay? And so you figure, well, it ain't going to be seem like much to put a quarter in. You're not giving for what it seems like.
Right.
You're giving to obey God.
Yeah.
And everybody can give, and everybody ought to give. Generosity, it's a good trait to have, to be known for. Now, the next one is honesty. Okay, we're going through this alphabetically, and maybe I ought to print this out and give it to you so you'd have them, okay, and you could follow along. But the next one is honesty. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we're looking at verse 21. Honesty. Boy, this is all right. Providing for honest things. Not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. You see, when we live the way we live godly, we live righteously, it's to honor the Lord and before the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, people see us. And we can either set a good example so that what they see is positive. And we cannot, should not figure, well, I do it for the Lord. I don't do it to be seen of men. Well, that sounds good. But the fact of the matter is, God does consider what men see. And so he says, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also, and notice that also. In other words, in sight of the Lord. We need to do it for the Lord, and that's important. But in addition, he says, also in the sight of men. Now, I know there's a Bible verse that says, in your giving, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. We're not talking about being a braggart about it. We're not talking about giving for a show, okay? And so the offering plate goes by, and you know, I pull out my wallet, and fingers through, and that's all ones. Anyway, fingers through, and find the $100 bill and pull it out. Praise God if you're able to give a $100 bill. But we don't do it to be seen of men. But one of the things I learned from Lee Robertson. Anybody know that name, Lee Robertson? Okay, we've got a few people that do. He was the pastor at the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. A great ministry. Started Tennessee Temple College, which trained the majority of missionaries that were on the field in the organizations, the groups called Fundamentalist. And that would be broadly our crowd, okay? and missions. And Lee Robertson, when I was at a pastor's school one time, he was teaching, and he said, "Men, when it comes time for the offering, your people need to see that you give." He said, "Now you don't do it with fanfare and as a big show, but the fact of the matter is people need to see that you give." And, you know, I thought to myself, that just makes sense. Because there's enough misunderstandings about preachers, pastors, okay, and that there, you know, there are some people who think that they really believe that the money that comes in the offering plate, the pastor gets that. Yeah, I couldn't believe it the first time I met somebody who actually believed that. And, you know, I can tell by the look in your face, you understand that what comes in, it goes into the church treasury and is used to pay the electric bill and the gas bill and the insurance. Yes, it gives salaries to the pastor and according to the church's size and organization, other staff members. But nevertheless, we need to have honesty in verse 21, providing for honest things. Now, honest things would mean that I'm not going to do, you know, have put a big show on as if I, you know, like I put a 20, okay, in a wad. And all that's in between in this thick wad is ones. That would be a show. That would be done to impress people. Pastor's putting in a great big wad. Did you see that wad the pastor put in? And must have been 20s, you know, because it was a 20 on the top. You say, I don't believe people would do that. You ain't been around, can't say long enough, but apparently you got to get beyond our own immediate circle to understand how some of these things do happen.
Right.
And it's a disgrace.
Sure.
It's a disgrace to the things of God. But that's why he says we're to provide for honest things in the sight of the Lord and in the sight of men. Well, let's move on to the next character trait, and that's humility. And this, you see, this would go with honesty. If somebody's proud, they're not humble, they're a proud person, then they're going to tend to want to twist things and present it in a certain manner. That's why he says we need to be honest about the things we do. And so the next character trait is in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to look at 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another." The young can learn from the older ones. And the young need to be willing to learn from the older ones. Now, that doesn't mean that the younger can't have good ideas. There's times where a person that's younger might have a better idea than an older person. But in general, across the board, he says, ye younger, submit yourselves. Put yourself under the elder. Yea, all of you. Now you see how he covers this? All of you be subject one to another. So yeah, he specifically says the young need to learn from the older ones, but all of us can learn from each other. So that means then the older ones, they are also supposed to be subject one to another. He says, and be clothed with humility. Now that's not a fabric garment, but that is our lives. Just like you put on clothing to cover things, our lives ought to be seen as and covered with humility. And this is important if you want God's help and leading in your life, because God, see it in the verse 5, God resisteth the proud. And so if you're doing things and have a spot of pride and you're doing it to be seen and you're not being humble, man, God's working against you. You say, I just can't understand. I can't get anywhere. No, you're fighting God. God resists the proud. And then he goes on, he says, and giveth grace to the humble. So he resists the proud, but to the humble person, he doles out, okay, what they need in their life. And that's a good reason to be humble. You say, well, sometimes I can struggle with that matter of humility, and how do I deal with that? Well, start out in prayer. Start out admitting, confessing to God that you've got too much pride. Lord, I like doing things. I like serving. But, I admit, Lord, I like to be seen by others, and I like it to impress other people. Now, our service is going to be seen by others, and we're doing it for others. But the attitude is what is being dealt with here. So he says in verse 6, humble yourselves. That's our responsibility, to humble ourselves. And that's why we need to pray and ask God to help us to be humble. And we need to purposely, when we're going to do something, we need to remind ourselves. Now, you do this when it's the right time to do it, not just the time that it can be seen by others so you can get a pat in the back from them. No, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Yeah, there are some people that God exalts. And within the congregation, people may look and see this person. Boy, they have this position, and they have this attention, and they have this responsibility, and boy, the pastor seems to call on them. Sure, because God's exalting them. God's exalting them, that he may exalt you in due time. So, humility is important. Now, do not be confused. Humility should not be confused with timidity or shyness or a reserved spirit. Just because a person may be timid and be shy, they're not outspoken, loud, gregarious, okay? They don't always say they've got ideas and so on. They just sort of stand back. And they don't say a whole lot. They can still be as proud as the guy who's always talking out and speaking up. This is a matter not of one's personality, of one's nature. Okay? Don't confuse humility and a spirit of shyness or being timid. And so they can have pride. Wrongful pride in our heart. We should not have an inflated ego of ourselves. Now, you don't put yourself down. Don't think because we say you shouldn't have an inflated ego that therefore you have to beat on yourself all the time because of what you are or what you aren't. No, thank God for what you are. I often used to say, but it's, I don't say it as much as I used to because it's so misunderstood. I don't have an ego problem. I feel very happy with myself. I've got certain skills and abilities, and I like to use them. And I look forward to using them. I've got some things I can't do. Now, I've tried already and came to the conclusion I really ought to leave that sort of thing to John Mark. I don't care how often I cut a board. It's never going to be the right length. Okay. I don't know. It doesn't matter how many boards I take to cut. And something I have never mastered, and that is if you're using a handsaw, okay, holding that handsaw blade straight. Whenever I cut like a 2x4, inevitably it's going to go like this. Well, then what's going to happen? Well, that cut's going to be on an angle. Oh, that aggravates me.
But using a handsaw.
Yeah. I recently bought, a little battery-driven circular saw. But anyway, if you have skills, be happy about them. And don't think, and beat up on yourself and say, well, I can do this, I can do that, but I don't want to be proud. Well, then don't be proud. Just be thankful for what you can do. Now, there's some things I learned to do along the way. I remember, and it was necessity that drove it, but I started working on cars. Well, changing spark plugs, that was easy enough, okay? And even putting a muffler on, that was obvious. You take it off and you put it on, put the clamps here, and wow, listen to that. You don't hear it anymore. I can do that. But when I got to brakes, that was another matter. I don't care how often I did it, the spring never went where it should. I just said, praise the Lord, when the church was able to give me more and I didn't have to do it, okay? And praise the Lord, he's now in heaven for a man named Jack Johnson, because I could take my car over to his garage and he would do things for me. And what a blessing it was. God provided in that way. And then after a while, we had a couple started coming to church, and her husband had a garage. And he was so good to me, so good to me. When I first went there, all I ever had, well, even in the beginning, I didn't have to pay for parts. And after a while, he had me pay for the parts, never paid labor. And that was God's provision. Okay, and I didn't have to try to fix brakes. When he put the springs on, they stayed where they should be. And if you have a skill to do that sort of thing, I admire you. I really do. I really do. But humility. We shouldn't have an inflated ego. But we ought to, because God has been involved in making us what we are. And therefore, to constantly be negative about ourselves and constantly putting ourselves down in our mind, I can't do this, I can't do that. Hey, listen, God was involved in making you. Now, I'm not going to say he made everything that's you. We got enough of our own that we mess up, okay? But God made you. So don't go putting yourself down constantly. Thank God for what you are, and just say, God, now you know my weaknesses, you know where I'm wrong, and I sure know, and I need your help in changing that, and you can do that, and humility is a wonderful trait. Now we move on to the next one. And the next one is initiative. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians. Paul wrote these letters, like Ephesians, that was to, there's a city named Ephesus. And the people that lived there were known as Ephesians because they lived in Ephesus. So Paul wrote a letter to that group of people, and so it's the Ephesians. Same way with Colossians. There was a city known as Colossae. And not only historically, you can go and see it on maps today, Colossae. And he wrote the letter to the Colossians. Now, the letter to the Galatians, There was no town called Galatia. Galatia was a region, an area. I'm going to compare it to like ourselves, a county. And there were several different churches there. They didn't have buildings. These were what we would call house churches. So there were several different houses where Christians would meet. And Paul wrote a letter to that group, and it's called the Galatians, okay? Galatians. And so now we're looking at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Take the initiative to use your time wisely. Readiness and the ability to start a right action, initiative. Have you ever been involved in some place? Maybe it was in a church, but it might be at work. If you're involved in scouts, it might be in scouts. Maybe where you work, there's a club, an organization, not a club, an organization of workers, and you've been in it. Anyway, have you ever said, why in the world doesn't he take some initiative? He does it when you ask him, but you always have to ask him and you always have to prod him. I wish he had some initiative. Do you ever hear that? Do you ever say that? Do you ever look within your family and somebody that's got great abilities, and when you finally get them to work, it turns out wonderful. But the guy never takes the initiative to instigate it. Initiative is a wonderful character trait. The person who sits back, I'm going to sit down, I'll stay standing. The person who stands back and sees what's going on and thinks to himself or herself, well, I know what will take care of that. I know if they did this, they did that, then that would meet that need. But they never take initiative to step up, to step forward and give the suggestion. Now, there's various reasons why that may be the case, but they're not good reasons, any of them, okay? And so, but we can develop in ourselves initiative. Now, that doesn't mean that every time we're involved in something, we push ourselves to the front. You've met people like that, that, you know, when something comes up, you know, inevitably they're going to speak up. They're going to say something. And the reason you feel that way about some people is because of the attitude that they have projected over time, okay? And it's not an attitude of, well, there's some things, you know, here, I've done this already, or I've seen this, you know, done, and then just back off and let the leadership see if they want to try that or not. No, this kind of a person is not initiative, but it's pushing themselves forward all the time. Now, initiative is not that, okay? Initiative is the readiness and ability to start an action, not sitting back and waiting for someone else to do something. And leadership requires initiative. Anybody that's in leadership has to have initiative because their task is to lead. And you can't lead and provide a place for people to follow if you're not leading, okay? Leadership is not a title or a term given. It's an action, a responsibility that we have. Now, like I said, you don't do it in pride. You don't do it in pushing yourself forward. Leadership requires teamwork. You've heard the term, probably body life. In the Christian church, we have body life. Paul the Apostle says, not everybody is a hand, not everybody is a foot, not everybody is an eye. But then he says, but the eye and the hand, they need each other. Why? Because they all have a purpose to serve. And so uh, in in teamwork, we find this happening. How it is done, who benefits from it. Let me give you an example. And I got to quit with this one. And that is, here, and I've seen this happen. So this is not a makeup example. All right, we've got an event coming up, and we're going to need 25 tables set up, tables and chairs. And so Harry is in charge of that project, and they're going to do it on Saturday at 1 o'clock. If you're able to help, talk to Harry. So, you know, 2-3 guys come up to Harry and say, I can help set up those tables. All right, he says, very good. See you at 1 o'clock. Now, one of those guys is a new man that's been attending the church. And Harry actually goes up to the new guy and he says, hey, would you help set up those tables? I had 3 men volunteer, but if we had a 4th one, then we'd have sort of a teamwork. I'll be there, but I'll need to be directing as far as where the setup is at. And so the new guy says, yeah, I'd like to do that. And so, now listen, when you have something to be done, it's not only to get the thing done, but it's what people can benefit from while it's being done. And so, at 10 o'clock, Bill shows up, all alone. And he sets up the 25 tables and chairs. And that's doable alone. I know that. But he sets them up. You say, well, praise the Lord. No, not praise the Lord. Harry was given the task. It wasn't Bill's task to set them tables up. If Bill wanted to do it, he should have gone to Harry and said, look, I can come at 10. I don't need any help. I'll do it. You know, and at that point, Harry might have said, hey, great, go for it. but Harry, Bill acted on his own. Now you say, well, what's the big problem? It got done. The new guy, he was going to have some interaction with some of the men of the church.
Right.
And that was taken away. As a matter of fact, now we have 4 men that come out at 1 o'clock. They could have been doing something else, but they took their time to come out, stop whatever they're doing. They came out, but they weren't needed. So it's a waste of time. Many of you know the name Terry Ireland. Mike Falk got him to lead in the project that the parsons put in the siding on. There was a time at Grace Bible when we had a building addition on the parsonage, as a matter of fact, and it was going slow. Volunteers, you know how it starts out big and then it, you know, drifts off. Well, that's what happened. And so one of the men said, well, look, we got the money. Why don't we just hire it done? And somebody else said, no, I think we ought to keep doing it this way. And it was there that Terry Ireland became that man, that new guy. And he was able to interact with the maybe only a few that came out. But it was his place of introduction to the church. So my illustration is based on an actual happening. Not with tables and chairs, but using the tools to construct the addition to the parsonage. All right, that's all we have time for. So we're going to end now. Father in heaven, thank you that you have ways that you want to work in our life. Do it, Father, so that we'll truly honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.